This year, I've been to Russia. I've been to Korea. I've been to Cuba 5 times. So I'm going through customs, and I hand the guy the receipt, the last customs border protection guy. He looks at me, and he goes, come here. And he pulls me over, and he brings about 3 of these guys over. He goes, this guy's an American legend. Meanwhile, I say to him, I go, dude, you almost just gave me a heart attack.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a conversation with renowned jazz musician Arturo O'Farrell. Arturo was born in Mexico and raised in New York City. And jazz is in his blood. His mother was a singer in Mexico, and his father is famous Afro-Cuban jazz musician Chico O'Farrell. So it's no surprise that Arturo played jazz piano at Carnegie Hall when he was just 19. Since then, over the last 40 years, he's won several Grammys. In 2007, he founded the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance, most famous for its Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. But over the last decade, he's looked at his music as a way of expressing himself politically. In 2015, he recorded an album in collaboration with Cuban artists and producers called Cuba, The Conversation Continues, with the aim of creating a dialogue between the United States and Cuba. And he's even worked in the past with political intellectuals like Cornel West.
Yes, it's a tradition of spiritual nobility. And by spiritual nobility, I'm talking about the Duke of Duke Ellington. I'm talking about the Count of Count Basie. I'm talking about the late Prince himself, the divine Sarah, the Queen.
In 2018, he released an album called Fandango at the Wall. It was inspired by the Fandango Fronterizo Festival on the U.S.-Mexico border, which brings together musicians on both sides of the border for a jam session. For Fandango at the Wall, O'Farrell recorded with more than 60 musicians. They range from classical and Broadway to hip-hop and son jarocho, a popular folk music from Veracruz, Mexico. I sat down with Arturo O'Farrell to talk about his most recent work and why his politics drive his music. So, Arturo, you have traveled all over the world playing jazz. And, you know, there's this notion that if people think of jazz, they might think New Orleans, they might think Harlem.
The thing that I think is interesting about what you said is that the people outside of the United States have a much bigger appreciation for jazz on some level than what we do. In the United States, jazz has become very institutionalized. It's become very much a part of the education machine. And it's become very part of something that I think is somewhat commodified, somewhat deodorized. And it doesn't have that element of revolutionary danger that it did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, Herbie Hancock, my God, that was like, whoa. Bending Time and Space.
Miles Davis. I mean, they were also, their album covers.
Bending Time and Space. Fluidity in so many directions. The people around the world that love this music, they see that spirit of revolution in it. They see that spirit of that sting. That sting is so important. Reminding people where it came from and what it does. And it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that sting.
So you're an American jazz musician of Cuban descent, and you've been very anti-Trump in your work recently. And I'm just wondering, are you concerned at all about how your work is being received?
I think anybody who's politically outspoken will catch a lot of flack and attract a lot of heat. And I'm not just talking about trolls. I'm talking about people who really could damage your career. I've no doubt I've done damage to my career. But the bigger issue is about who I am as a human being. I am Latino. That's first and foremost. And I'm part of a fabric of Africa. That's a part of who I am spiritually and musically. And for me to look at where we're relegated to, one concert out of a season, one chapter of a book, that's not really accurate. What's really accurate about jazz is that it's a gift born out of a cataclysm called slavery. And it's filtered throughout the Americas. And that's not a popular message, I don't think, in a lot of jazz institutions.
You're saying this American jazz tradition is actually American, but from North America to South America, including the Caribbean. And you actually say that all of this is music that really does result from oppression, right?
It's something about the spirit of oppression that I firmly believe cannot vanquish the human spirit. And there's no greater lesson of that than jazz, than African art. And the truth of humanity is that we will not accept hatred and oppression, and I won't. Riling people up is what I love to do.
So why is it so important for you to embed your politics into your work as a jazz musician?
I figured if I got to be a jazz musician, I'd travel around and I'd be happy, and I'd be making records, and I wasn't happy. And then I started achieving a measure of notoriety, and I thought that that would be my happiness, and of course it wasn't my happiness. And then I started to read a little bit and think a little, and I recognized something, that there's a greater cause to my life than just my happiness. And I started thinking about being connected to my people, Latinos, to what we go through in the United States. All of this was kind of fermenting in my brain. And then a young man by the name of Ramarley Graham was killed in the Bronx by a New York City police detective.
Ramarley Graham was shot and killed inside his home
and was discovered to be unarmed. Surveillance video shows officers outside the home, one wearing a seemingly lighthearted expression.
They ran him down, burst into his home, and shot him in front of his grandmother and brother. They found nothing, no drugs, no weapons, nothing. That was such a moment for me because my youngest son was the exact same age as Ramarley Graham. And my world kind of really came crashing in. And I just realized that for me, that my connection to music has to be through community. I discovered that I have no choice but to be political. I have no choice but to speak my mind and to report what I see, come what may.
Te vi cruzar la montaña, te vi bajar el camino, te vi bajar el camino, te vi cruzar la montaña.
Coming up on Latino USA, Arturo O'Farrell talks about his latest project, Fandango at the Wall. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Adiós, tambor de paisaje, de selva y de valentía, de selva y de valentía. Adiós, tambor de paisaje.
Hey, it's Ophira Eisenberg, host of NPR's Ask Me Another, and I'm here to let you know that every Friday in April, we're bringing you an episode that spotlights women in comedy. You'll hear from Retta, the star of NBC's Parks and Recreation, and I'll talk to Russian Doll actor Greta Lee and co-creator Leslie Headland, and many more. Listen now.
We're back, and we're speaking with Arturo O'Farrell, the jazz musician, whose latest project was inspired by the Fandango Fronterizo Festival on the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, the festival gathers Son Jarocho musicians annually on both sides of the border wall in Tijuana and in San Diego for a jam session. So let's get back to my conversation with Arturo O'Farrell. Arturo, you just did this pretty wonderful album, Fandango at the Wall. It was inspired by this Fandango Fronterizo Festival in Tijuana. And there might be some people who are like, wait, what exactly is that? So can you tell us a little bit more about what this Fandango Fronterizo Festival is all about?
It's the most elegant activism that I can think of. The actual festival takes place in Tijuana, but there's two sides to it because it takes place right at the border wall. And the Friendship Park, which is the park that's right next to the Tijuana border wall, is opened up for this festival. And so Son Jarocho musicians come from the United States. Son Jarocho musicians come from Mexico, and they meet at the wall, the actual fence, which is like mesh. And they sing all the great traditional music. It's overwhelming because you're there and you see people who aren't physically able to connect other than pinkies. They're in the very tip of their fingers. It's very moving. And when I read about this, I thought this was such an example of exactly what jazz is. It's turning a weapon of hatred, which is this wall, this thing that has become such hot news now, into a tool for uniting.
And so what was your favorite part of being there at this jam session on the border?
There's a moment when there's a lovely group of musicians from Veracruz in New York. I'm sure you know the Villalobos brothers. And Ernesto, I think, was unable to get a visa, so he was afraid to leave the United States. So Alberto was in Mexico, Ernesto was in San Diego in Friendship Park, and they literally came up right in front of each other, jamming across the mesh. I just was so moved by that moment that, you know, here are two brothers who are brothers, but they can't physically be in the same place because of political realities. I am proud to be an American, by the way. I'm proud to be a New Yorker. I'm proud to be from Brooklyn. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of this moment in my life because I'm speaking out as an American should. So this is not a liberty that is given to a lot of other people in Latin America, but it is our job to do this. It's our job to speak these truths.
One of the songs on your new album, Fandango at the Wall, is called Free Falling Borderless, and it's a really dark and intriguing piece. And I'm wondering, what inspired this song?
The piece is loosely inspired by a poem called Free Falling Towards a Borderless Reality. And what it is I decided that we always use the silly example of to combat racism, we say, well, everybody has a spleen. Everybody, we're all built the same. That's our go-to place to combat racism. But I think culture is so much more what unites us. I was taken aback by a friend of mine named Luisa Mura, who said to me, all the basic sounds of every language that has ever been created are based on very concrete things that come out of our mouth. The sound t, m, m, k, k, those are all componentry of every single language on earth. And so the idea was to create a piece that showed that culture is what really defines and unites us. The things that develop into language, the things that develop into art and music, we all share that.
There's another song on the album. It's called Hummingbird Blues. And it basically takes on the wall directly. Can you tell us a little bit more about this piece?
Hummingbird Blues is composed and arranged by the producer, Kabir Sehgal, who is of Indian origin. And what I love about the piece is it also deals with the idea that the border wall that is being proposed is devastating to the ecosystem of the Southwest. Entire migratory patterns for nearly extinct animals are being destroyed by this. It's not just the idea that we can't cross borders. It's that we're killing off species to do this. There's something in humanity that does not love a wall. And there's something in nature that does not love a wall. So Hummingbird Blues is an outgrowth not only of the idea that we can't have these political separations, but also that we're destroying floral fauna life. You know, I think that that's a large part of it. I have to tell you one story before we part that I don't think has made the rounds. We were recording and rehearsing in a cultural center in Tijuana. And at the end of the day, we were walking out and there was a horse's butt sticking out several doors down. And we just went, I wonder if that's one of those famous dancing horses. And the trainer brought the horse out and it was a dancing horse with a braided black mane. And the trainer put him through his paces, and all of a sudden, guitars were pulled out, and saxophones, and violins. And we jammed for almost 20 minutes with a horse. We crossed species to jam and make music. That will forever be etched in my mind. And some of the young musicians sat there, mouths agape, that they were actually having a descarga across species.
Mexican horses know how to, they know how to dance.
Oh, yeah.
Ellos bailan.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing I didn't dance, because that would have ended that magic of that moment.
Arturo Ferrell, thank you so much for all of your work and for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you for being who you are.
Te vi cruzar la montaña, te vi bajar el camino.
Arturo O'Farrell is a jazz musician and director of the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra. A documentary film is now in the works about the process of making Fandango at the Wall. This episode was produced by Sayre Quevedo and Maya Cueva and edited by Sofia Paliza Ka. The Latino USA team includes Marlon Bishop, Miguel Macias, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, and Janice Yamoka, with additional editing by Allison McAdam. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our interns are Caroline Aguirre and Lucas Southard. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, be sure to stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And dear podcast listener, just one more thing. We really love hearing from you. So can you take a moment to rate and review us on your favorite podcast app and keep your comments coming because we really love them. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meanwhile, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
if you've spent a significant... New language, Miguel. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, we dive into the significance of a recent decision made by MECHA, a 50-year-old student organization for Latinos that decided to change their iconic name, Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán, MECHA. That's next time on Latino USA.